Connected live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
And later on, we'll be talking about money matters and helping women access responsible credit. That's very key to financial inclusion and economic growth in South Africa, as we want to get more and more people active in the economy. But now it's time for Ekasinomics. Now, when opportunity didn't knock, Edenvine built the door for local beauty brands. Just how Rabitu Dire is the founder of Edenvine and will tell us more about it. A very good evening to you, and thank you so much for joining us, Rabit.
Good evening, Tepiso. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good, and I would have loved to be looking fabulous, thanks to you, but you didn't include me in this entrepreneurial venture of yours. But let's talk about how you're helping other people. So you are basically taking talented beauty entrepreneurs who are struggling to get their products into the hands of consumers. How?
Okay, so you know the retail industry is worth billions in South Africa, and that is where a lot of consumers sort of frequent and purchase their beauty product. So a lot of the big beauty retailers wouldn't allow small businesses or just make it very difficult for them to be on their shelves. So Edenvine affords local beauty brands the opportunity to participate as well as to be visible in the retail space.
You know, what I love about your story is that you fixed where you experience problems. Most people don't pay it forward or don't even think about how, had somebody given them a hand up, they would be where you are now, creating opportunities. So tell us about your experiences of being rejected by major retailers and how you were you managed to say, here's the fix for this problem.
So one of the major beauty retailers actually had a scandal with Tresemme a few years back. And to sort of salvage the image, they started calling local brands to actually onboard into their stores. So I went through a series of application processes. And then just right at the end, when I was essentially retail ready and ready to be on their shelves, they just said, no, you're not popular enough to actually go onto our shelves. And I was actually taken aback, because how many of the international brands do we essentially discover on the shelf? I mean, brands that have zero footprint in South Africa or Africa even, and they're able to participate in this retail industry. So for me, I then understood that there's so many barriers of entry as a local brand. I mean, we are the ones that consume these beauty products. Why are we not allowed to essentially participate in this retail industry? So that's how Edenvine essentially came about. I always describe the Edenvine story as from rejection to retail.
And how did they qualify you are not popular enough, especially if they onboarded you to help rescue what was a struggling product?
I think for them, they were just basically looking at maybe social media following. Uh-huh. I actually never really engaged the lady as to what didn't make me popular enough, you know. I just sort of left it as that, because why go through the entire process with me if you're going to reject me right at the end? I think those should have been things that they should have conducted during their due diligence stages. And I believe that every brand starts off as not being popular enough when it essentially comes into the market or when they're starting off.
And that their no was their loss. And tell us how you then overcame this obstacle and what you do. I want to understand your brand now, how you help others champion their brands.
Okay, so I have my own beauty brand, which is Muntle and Banzola Cosmetics. And in order to sort of get my brand out there, I used to frequent a lot of markets. But when you're at a market, people are usually there for the food and the drinks and for the vibe, you know, and for the crafts. It's very hard to try sell someone beauty products in that kind of setting. So in December 2020, as well as 2021, I actually had a pop-up store at Midland Mall in Pretoria. And I actually made, you know, quite a bit of money from that. And I realized that being in a retail setting, or particularly a mall, is a correct setting to sort of engage possible consumers about your products. You know, people are more willing to sample, to try products out, because that's the correct setting to essentially do it. So it then became apparent to me that, hey, actually, being visible in retail is the way to go. So that is where the idea of Eden Vine essentially came about, whereby as local brands, it could be a collaborative effort. You know, it could also be a store where consumers don't have to pay for different shipping fees off of different local brand website in order to get the various beauty brands that they would essentially like. So then created a store, you know, approached the mainland, went through a series of processes, and eventually set up a store where it's affordable for local brands as well. It's also beneficial for them and gives them an opportunity to tap into the 94.5 of active South African shoppers that actually shop in retail settings.
And I'd like to hear your perspective then, Rabbit, on the specific or unique challenges faced by women entrepreneurs in the space. I remember, I'm not sure if it's about 2 years ago, meeting a young lady at a manufacturing summit that I was moderating, and she was speaking about the process of developing her products. It sounded like a very long, dispiriting journey where lots of money was spent in the development process.
As women, unfortunately, we are so discriminated against, number one. We're often not taken as serious. You know, you always have to work harder than your male counterparts. So when it has to do in terms of accessing our finances, that is one huge obstacle that we continuously face, because in order to formulate or get your product retail ready, you essentially do need financial assistance, and that is one of the biggest hurdles that a lot of women-owned businesses experience. And I also think that when it also comes into entering into certain markets, you know, we live in a world where a lot of industries are male dominated. You know, it's not very easy to get your voice heard. I would actually give one experience. I remember when we were doing our shop fittings, our shop fitter was a gentleman, and you know, he was essentially not working according to the time plan, the timeline we had agreed upon. And I actually had to get my partner involved in order for him to actually start acting. So it's those small situations whereby I'm paying you for a service, but because I'm a woman, you're sort of undermining my authority.
And do you think that kind of mentality also exists broad scale across, businesses, especially with what you talk about? I think a lot of women can attest to, if you take in your car or if it's something that is seen particularly through a gender lens that women would not understand or they're capable of, that's what you face in business in general as a black woman. You have to fight for your space.
That is absolutely true. And, you know, at times it can get a bit frustrating, because it would then mean you would have to sort of alter your character in order to get things done. Whereby if you're more of a calm, reserved person, those sort of characteristics hardly ever get you anywhere. So it can be a bit frustrating that you do have to alter your character or involve a male counterpart at that. So those sort of experiences are so frustrating. I just don't understand why we cannot be treated with the same respect that is afforded to our male
And
counterparts.
I'd like to continue in that vein of the types of stereotypes that hold women back. What about securing funding sometimes, and especially funding for a beauty product?
Yeah, so I think, well, there's a lot of government institutions that have been set up in terms of accessing funding and finance. But I think one of the biggest things with them would sort of be them speeding up their processes, but also being lenient on women as well, you know. And when I mean lenient, I mean having the patience to understand that as women, we don't have the same economic freedom as our male counterparts. I'll give an example with someone that's a single mother, you know, they would have more financial responsibilities as opposed to men. So I would think that those sort of contingencies or leniencies should be put in place when assisting women-owned businesses and sort of evaluating their profitability. Because I actually have to say that women are actually, I don't want to sound like I'm discriminating against women, but for us, when you get into business, it's sort of do or die because we have so many more financial responsibilities, if I can put it as such.
Okay. And so the people that you support, I'd imagine that beauty products, require some sort of apothecary intervention. I remember actually buying a hydrating spray that was said to have glycerin and all kinds of ingredients in it. And I bought it from my local chemist. The day that I put it on, literally 30, 40 minutes later, I was covered in a rash. And yes, I know I have sensitive skin. So I'm just drilling down to the point that there needs to be proper science behind these products that you create. So how do you or other people who are trying to get into this business get that kind of support to make sure that their products are able to be consumed safely?
Okay, so that's actually such a great question because that actually falls in line with you getting retail ready if you want to participate within the retail industry. So definitely, once your product has been formulated, you have to test your products. So you'd essentially do shelf life testing, do stability testing to ensure that the product doesn't separate. But you also need to test your product that it doesn't sort of irritate people's skin, you know. When you put active ingredients in certain products such as your hyaluronic acid, your niacinamide and vitamin C, there is a certain portion of that active ingredient you can actually put in a product. So it's following such cosmetic standards, but at the same time, having a proper ingredients list. It could be with you that there's a particular active ingredient that you were essentially allergic to. And how we as Eden Vine actually try to remedy that is that we have testers in store. So when you come in store and you're purchasing a product for the first time, we always offer to patch test you on your neck, you know, because the skin on your neck is quite similar to the skin on your face as well. So patch testing is so essential before you essentially apply the product on your face. If you purchase it at one of the other beauty retailers that don't essentially have testers, before you put it on your face, just patch test it as well on your neck or on your hand for like a day and see if, you know, you'll have any form of reaction. But if you do have a reaction to a product, please do discontinue it immediately.
Oh, don't worry. The bin was the next place it went to. And now, Rabiotsu, you say you have an ecosystem of complementary product variants. Tell me about those and how you've taken them from the beginning stages to being retail outlet ready.
So we have various beauty categories in the store. So from your skincare, your hair care, body care, male grooming, and all forms of beauty accessories as well. So how we assist the brands that want to come into Eden Vine, get retail ready, is that we'd essentially look at your products. So we'd first start with the visual representation. Do you have your ingredients list? Do you have your barcoding? Do you have your warning signs there? If not, we would then advise you that, hey, this is what your packaging is missing. And if your products are not essentially tested, we would advise you to go to the likes of SEPS, the Technology Innovation Agency in Chemicals, You can also do testing from private labs as well. And then you can also seek out assistance from government institutions such as CEDA. They do provide that form of support where they could assist you in testing your products. So we look at where the business is at and where they need to be in order to be retail ready. So I think as Eden Vine, we actually do a whole lot of business development in order to help local South African brands get retail ready.
So my final question, and I find this bit of information quite fascinating, you did allude to it, that it's a very prosperous industry, that in fact in 2020 was valued at 138 billion rand, and 2025 it's forecast to be valued at 185 billion rand, the industry. But you say less than 10% of South African businesses are represented within the industry at retail level. Why do you believe this is the case?
So this is the case because of the barriers of entry, number one. A lot of the beauty retailers are opting to have international brands. And it is actually quite expensive to participate in retail with the bigger retailers, because when it comes to merchandising, I was actually so baffled when I actually learned about this. So if you have your different products in different provinces in South Africa, you actually have to hire a merchandising team that will go around each store and actually make sure that your products are on shelf. The people that work in these beauty retailers, they're not there to merchandise your product, which was actually so shocking for me. So as a local brand, imagine trying to find 50 different people that will go around in each store to sort of merchandise and make sure your products are available on shelf. So those are some of the advantages that Eden Vine provides for the local brands. We assist them with stock management. We assist them in sort of being able to know what their stock levels are, merchandising their products as well. So it also has to do with the deep penetration of the international brands. And I think just the fact that as locals, we're actually only starting to participate in our economy now. We as people are starting to, go into business way more than past generations as well.
All the best to you. May you go forth and prosper, you and the rest of the other members of Eden Vine. She's a founder of Eden Vine. What she really does is to help open doors for those people who are struggling to get their products into the hands of consumers. So she gets you retail ready by providing a platform for local beauty brands to thrive.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.